Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll begin today with Somerville Mayor Joseph Curtatone's move to defy a federal program on immigration and law enforcement. Curtatone announced that he'll sign an executive order barring Somerville police from holding people just to allow federal agents to pick them up for suspected immigration violations.
Somerville is believed to be the only Massachusetts community to bar the practice. At a press conference earlier today, Mayor Curtatone also criticized a related federal policy called the Secure Communities Program.
Secure Communities, what it does, it engenders fear in the immigrant community. It pushes people into the background and into the shadows. It discourages witnesses and even victims from cooperating with police.
Well, joining us now in the studio is Laura Rodolo, an attorney from the ACLU of Massachusetts who helped Mayor Curtatone draft the language of his executive order. Laura, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
So there's been a lot of coverage about this, some of it a bit confusing, and I want to just take a minute to clarify. What specifically does Mayor Curtatone's executive order do?
Right. Thank you. So the order does not opt Somerville out of Secure Communities. Secure Communities is a federal program. It just means the federal government receives information of arrestees every time there's an arrest anywhere in the country.
Like fingerprint information.
Fingerprint information, your name, your date of birth, and where you are. And that's important for locating people that they want to deport.
And this happens automatically?
It happens automatically. Since 2012, Massachusetts has been part of this program.
So if that is not what the what Somerville is opting out of now, what exactly does this executive order call for?
The order says that once the federal government has identified a person they want to deport and they ask Somerville to hold that person, if that person has posted bail or somehow been released, that Somerville won't hold them on behalf of ICE. That Somerville will say, we're not going to use our resources, our time, our officers' resources to hold this person on behalf of ICE. And that part of the program is completely voluntary. ICE itself says that it's voluntary. Courts around the country have said it's voluntary. And that's essentially all it is.
Okay. So why did the mayor feel that this is important to do for Somerville?
Because without this order, when localities blindly follow these detainer requests, it creates an uninterrupted pipeline between arrest and deportation. And that breaks down community trust of police because they know that a simple call to 911, an arrest for a traffic violation, could land them into this deportation pipeline. And when people feel that way, it creates this perception and they feel simply afraid to call the police.
Well, on the other hand, as you know, there are some members of local law enforcement around Massachusetts. Somerville has declined to comment, but for example, Bristol County Sheriff Thomas Hodgson was quoted in the Boston Herald saying that this policy, this new executive order, could actually drive crime up in Somerville. He said to the Herald, quote, "It takes the handcuffs off the criminals and puts them on the law enforcement." Your reaction to that?
I think what we'll see, what I would predict, is that it's going to have the opposite effect. It's going to make Somerville a safer city. We've seen in other places that undocumented people are targeted as victims because criminals know that they won't reach out to the police. They won't talk about the crimes that have happened to them. They won't report. So now that people who live in Somerville, who visit, who work there, feel that they can trust their local police, it's going to make it safer for everyone.
We should say that we reached out to U.S. Customs and Immigration and Customs Enforcement to have them have their say if they could provide us with a guess. They were unable to, but they did provide us with this statement saying U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement will continue to work cooperatively with law enforcement partners as the agency seeks to enforce its priorities through the identification and removal of convicted criminals and others who are public safety threats. So that's from ICE in Washington. Do you think that that Somerville's move to not detain people at the request of federal immigration authorities now is going to hamper ICE's ability to do its job in terms of finding people who have been convicted of immigration crimes?
The order doesn't tell ICE how to do its job, and certainly won't really have an effect on how they do their job. It simply says Somerville police are not going to collaborate unless you have a criminal warrant. ICE has a $5 billion budget. They deport hundreds of thousands of people every year. I don't expect that this will change how they do business.
Now, even though Mayor Curtatone's executive order is not opting Somerville out of secure communities because it can't, it just has to do with this detention issue that we've been discussing, a lot of the attention today has been on the effect of the secure communities program as a whole. And I think it's because there's a lot of attention paid to the relationship between federal and local law enforcement when it comes to immigration issues. I mean, we were looking at the ICE website on the Secure Communities Program specifically, and the ICE website says that through August 31st, 2012, more than 166,000 immigrants convicted of crimes were removed through the United States after identification through secure communities. So is that sort of the bigger goal overall for Mayor Curtatone to sort of cast light on secure communities as a program? I mean, ICE would say that it's actually quite effective.
So breaking down those statistics, we've seen about 1,400 people deported out of Massachusetts because of secure communities. But secure communities was sold to the public and Congress as a way to get violent people off the street. If you look at those statistics, more than half of the people deported in Massachusetts had not committed any crime. So we see that it really ensnares a lot of undocumented people, people who are not public safety threats and don't really fall into those categories that we would all agree on.
And finally, so Somerville, insofar as we know, is the first community to enact this executive order to bar the extended detention of people. Is it likely that any other communities in Massachusetts may follow suit, or even possibly at the state level?
We're hopeful that other communities will follow Somerville's leadership, and we're also hopeful that the Massachusetts legislature will take this up. There is a bill pending called the Massachusetts Trust Act. It's in committee right now, and it does essentially the same thing, but statewide. It would set statewide limits on this voluntary collaboration at the detention level. And we hope that Somerville's leadership will really inspire our legislators and other cities and towns, especially those that have large immigrant populations, to do the same.
Well, Laura Rodolo is staff attorney at the ACLU of Massachusetts, and she helped draft Mayor Joseph Curtatone's executive order to bar extended detention by Somerville police of people who the federal government may be interested in regarding suspected immigration violations. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. Coming up, Bill Littlefield joins us to talk about the latest player lawsuit against the NFL, and Claudia Williams remembers her father, the late great Boston Red Sox slugger Ted Williams. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.